Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Dan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Kevin Abrams, and Kevin had sent me something very interesting recently that I wanted to share with all of our listening audience, because we're involved in just terrible conflicts and terrible problems today, and so much of this really doesn't make sense. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you pick up the story and take it from there?
Okay. You know, the book that we were that I was trying to remember the other day when we spoke on the phone was titled The Richest Man in Babylon. And I can remember reading it years ago and learning that the richest man in Babylon was a person that was a moneylender. And he loaned out money at interest, or a facsimile of money or whatever at interest. And we're going to get into that whole question of the I'd like to pick up on the whole question of the fundamental differences between two systems of money, or two approaches to money, two ideas of money. And and in specific, I'd like to reflect on the book just recently released in 2010 by Joseph P. Farrell. He's also author of The Philosopher's Stone and many other books on the bell and so forth, which was an esoteric form of Nazi energy that they were working on, and was an alternative or infinitely free energy source that they were developing along the lines of Tesla, Nikola Tesla's research into limitless energy, free energy that he proposed that could be provided by him to the world. Anyways, the title of Joseph's book is Babylon's Banksters, The Alchemy of Deep Physics, High Finance, and Ancient Religion. And in his book, Farrell talks about the origins of our current monetary system, which is a system that issues currency on the basis of debt, and it's issued by private banksters. He refers to them as banksters, and these private banksters, the system that they're using today and the methods that they use originate from Babylon, and he refers to Amschel Rothschild as being a descendant of Nimrod, of the Nimrodian line of Babylonian banksters and so forth. And all through history, we see their footprints, the private bankster that creates something out of nothing. And therefore, Joseph Farrell identifies that something that is really based on nothing as facsimile money, the appearance of something that is but is not. I believe John Quincy Adams used that expression. He referred to it as those things which appear to be but are not. So basically, that's what you're dealing with facsimile money. It's, for instance, in the original days of banking in the United States, what what the goldsmiths used to do is they would accept people's gold for deposit in their vaults. And you may be familiar with that history.
Well, certainly. Go right ahead and explain it. They certainly would found it eventually. Everybody would come back for their gold, and they just leave it there. It was more convenient to work with paper receipts, and so they started offering more and more receipts with only a limited amount of gold, and that way they were able to make tremendous profits. They were able to create money artificially and lend it out and make interest on it and expand the money supply and benefit greatly themselves from something that didn't exist.
Right. So it was a facsimile of money. It was a receipt that promised to pay to the bearer on demand a certain amount of gold. In those days, gold coins were known as eagles, and silver was known as a dollar of silver, and a dollar came from the name thaler. It was originally a quantity of silver. It was as much a quantity of silver as a quart of milk was a quantity of milk. And so a real dollar would have been a measurement of silver, so many grams of silver. Of course, a real quart of milk would have been a quart of milk. So what you're dealing with when you're talking about facsimile money is instead of a dog, it's a picture of a dog. So you have a facsimile of a dog, but not the dog itself. So it represents something, but it exists in the sense that originally there was gold on deposit, so the receipt represented the gold that sat in the vault. But after a while, as you say, the banker learned that no more than a certain number of people would come to take their gold out of the vault at any one time, and that he could loan a multiple of the amount of gold that he had on deposit in receipts, and that was the original receipt currency, which became promissory notes. We'll pay to the promise or to the bearer on demand. And of course, today's currency it doesn't promise to pay to the bearer on demand anything. There is no see, for a note to be legal, it has to have a creator and an amount, and then a payee and a due date. So basically, there's no no due date, and there's no payee on the current Federal Reserve note. And so it's actually, in legal terms, it wouldn't even be considered a legal note. And so it's kind of a contradiction that it would be defined as legal tender or a legal note. But anyway,
what's so incredible today is we simply have the government being able to print all the money it wants to. It's 43 cents out of every dollar the government spends it has to borrow based upon absolutely nothing. And since other people are not certainly lending us money, they simply create money out of nothing so that they continue spending money that they don't have. And the whole system is doomed to destruction, with it the destruction of the life-saving of everybody listening to this program. And the incredible and diabolic part of this is the people who are doing this, what I call the Brothers of Darkness, know that they're in the process of destroying the monetary system of our country, with the stability of our nation, the political stability, with it the life savings of everybody listening to this program. And anybody who's invested in dollar increments, you're going to lose everything you have. Go right ahead, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly it. When you have inflation...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice vice president for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
And here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Kevin Abrams, are talking about a book going into this whole Babylonian concept, the Babylonian bankers, and how so many of our ideas today go back to ancient Babylon, where they also had a banking system. They created money out of nothing and were able to utilize that to steal from the people. Go right ahead, Kevin.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's an ages-old system of banking, and basically it's called facsimile banking. The money is created on the basis of debt. It's issued into circulation as debt bearing interest by private banksters. It's not issued by the government, and this is the illusion that many people have about the Federal Reserve, is because it's called the Federal Reserve that somehow or another it's federal. It's just a name like any other corporate name, like McDonald's or Walmart, whatever. But this is basically a banking cartel, and the Federal Reserve is an extension of the international banking cartel, and they monetize the debt of the government. Basically, the government has given them the right, a monopoly on monetizing the country's debt, and so basically, the money that they issue into circulation is all issued on the basis of debt, and it bears interest. And that's the way it's been all through history, whether it's when Joseph was the economics minister of Egypt or whether it was in Jerusalem when Jesus is referred to as having overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple for corrupt weights and measures. And it's the same people that Andrew Jackson referred to when he basically made war on them because they were attempting to introduce their interest-bearing currency into circulation back in his days and during his presidency. And the same people that Lincoln, of course, made war against. And actually, Joseph Farrell, in his book, and you might find his website rather interesting. His website is GizaDeathStar.com. So that's G-I-Z-A, DeathStar.com. That's the website of Dr. Joseph P. Farrell. And he's the author of the recently published book, Babylon's Banksters. I would recommend highly his book. It's an excellent short read on the subject of the alchemy of creating money from nothing, and also the astrological associations with temples and banking in ancient times, and how cycles, the study, you know, he gets into the foundation for the study of cycles and so forth, which is very interesting in terms of having knowledge of astrological or weather cycles and so forth, and being able to capitalize on those cycles is a part of the banking process today. Even it refers to such things as grand crosses and they have and the malign influence that they have and so forth. But anyways, I don't want to get into that because it gets rather detailed in terms of econophysics and so forth. I want to stick to the more practical aspects of his book and how it relates to our present situation as far as money is concerned. So anyways, this system has come down to us, and one of he deals with the Civil War, and really the war that Lincoln was waging was not really specifically against the South. It was against the European banksters and the European banking interests' attempt to split America into two, the North and the South. That was what they set out to do. And he quotes at length from a woman by the name of Ellen, let me see, what was her name now? Ellen Hodgson Brown, who wrote the book Web of Debt, The Shocking Truth About Our Money System and How We Can Break Free, which came out in 2008. She points out, he writes, that most modern Americans don't know, and that is prior to the American Revolution, most of the colonies printed their own money, debt-free, and actually made loans to farmers and businessmen. The result, of course, was a booming economy and almost full employment. And when Benjamin Franklin visited England prior to the Revolution, they inquired of him about the source of this prosperity in the colonies. The banker or the directors of the Bank of England, and Franklin told them that the colonies issued their own paper money in a proper proportion to the demand of trade and commerce. So what the government was doing is issuing the currency into circulation, spending it into circulation as productivity moved or as productivity increased. And so there was a proper amount of currency to facilitate trade and industry in circulation. No boom or bust. It was basically the government regulated the amount of currency in circulation, and it matched up with productivity. But they asked him, well, what's the backing of this money? The colonies, they didn't have any gold or silver with which to back the issues of paper currency, the colonial scrip. And with what then was it backed? And then there was this the famous Protestant minister in New England, Cotton Mather. He made it clear that when the backing for the colonial scrip was by asking a pointed series of questions. Is a bond or bill of exchange for £1,000 other than paper? And yet it is not as valuable as so much gold or silver, supposing the security of payment is sufficient. Now, what is the security of your paper money? Less than the credit of the whole country. So, as Brown notes, as quoted in Farrell's book, is that Mather had redefined money. What it represented was not a sum of silver or gold, it was credit, the credit of the whole country. And so basically the currency was issued on the basis of the credit of the whole country, the good faith and credit of the entire country and their productive capacities. It wasn't gold-backed. And that's the one thing that Ellen Hodgson in her Web of Debt refers to, and Farrell refers to. If there's one book that he recommends her book, The Web of Debt, there's one book that the reader should read about the history of privately issued debt money versus state-issued credit money, and that was the distinction between the two systems. Is one is privately issued debt money, and he refers to that as the Babylonian bankster system, versus state-issued credit money, which is issued by the government, which was the intention and the way it originally worked in the colonies. And that was Lincoln's intention with the greenback, is to issue a currency into circulation that was non-interest-bearing. They did some counting on that matter. He issued $400 million worth of greenbacks into circulation after inquiring with the bankers about a loan to help finance the war. And, of course, the bankers were going to charge him 26 to 34% interest, which was outrageous even by today's standards. Even at the highest rate of interest that we were paying a number of years back. So basically, he inquired of one of his colleagues what could be done, and they advised him to print his own currency, interest-free, and just spend it into circulation. And that's what he did.
I think what people really need to understand now is that there is plenty of money out there. I mean, the banks are sitting on approximately $3 trillion, and they're just refusing to lend it out. Oh, they're lending it out to other countries. They're lending it out to other governments. They're lending it out to corporations, you know, in foreign countries, in China, India, Brazil. They're not lending it out here because they're intentionally is setting out to destroy our economy. The great corporations have about $2 trillion, I think it's $1.9 trillion, and they're sitting on this. Why? Because they're in on the scam as well. They want to strangle our economy and have the Fed, which is, of course, their organization, simply destroy the monetary system of our government. The people who are smart are putting their money into something of value, into commodities, into factories. But they're not investing in factories in America because they want to destroy our economy and impoverish our people. I mean, this is the thing that people really don't see today. They think these things are happening by accident. I think they're happening by intent. But you go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. They are happening through manipulation of the currency. And, of course, this is not an American bank. This is not an American currency. These are Federal Reserve notes. And as we know, the Federal Reserve is not consented to an audit. Just that one factor alone, that the Federal Reserve has never been audited, is indication enough that it's not a public bank. It is not a state-issued currency. So they are substituting. They are a substitute. They're not a government agency. And so this is not a government currency, and the people of the country have no control over their currency. That's the big problem for the American economy, because, you see, currency is will. The people of the country have lost their capacity to express their moral and ethical will through the currency, through their elected representatives and officials, and through the currency that is an expression of their intentions insofar as that will is concerned. So currency equals will. And when the currency is in the hands of private banking interests, then the people have no control over their most essential or the most important political and economic outcomes. And that's the big difference between a government-issued currency issued on the full faith and credit of the nation, which doesn't necessarily, as we see in history, does it need to be gold-backed or silver-backed, but is just issued into circulation to parallel or to correspond with productivity. So what we have now is we have an interest-bearing instrument that is not accountable to the public, is not accountable to the people of the country, so the people of the country have no control over either of their political or their economic outcomes or the direction of the country itself. And that's the big problem of today. And the devaluation of the currency, of course, occurs, really what's relative to the average person in the street is purchasing power of the money that they have in their pocket, in their savings accounts, in their pension plans, and so forth, and the purchasing power of their labor. It really gets down to very basic issues. Is how much work do you have to do to acquire the necessary value for exchange to provide for the basic necessities of life and some of your personal desires? So basically what happens in inflation is what's happening is deflation. The purchasing power of the money that you retain or that you make through your labor is deflating while it even sits in your bank account. We're not making that much money on interest these days. And as Henry George mentions in his book, Progress and Poverty, which is a very interesting and very important book for Americans to read. Interesting enough, I was speaking with an Ivy League graduate of one of the schools of economics in the United States, and I asked her if she had ever heard of Henry George. Of course, he was a very prominent American-born economic philosopher. He published Progress and Poverty in 1879, and he refuted the Malthusian pretense. And, of course, what was the Malthusian pretense? The Malthusian pretense is predicated upon two basic issues. One, that wages somehow or another were a claim upon the capital or wealth of the feudal landlord, that it was a cost or a liability of the feudal landlord to pay or to allow the serfs that sat on his land any retention of the crop or any compensation for their work or labor or dedication or loyalty. And so basically the land was owned by the feudal landlord, and the produce of the land was owned by the feudal landlord. And also even the people that lived on the land were technically slaves of the landlord and had to serve in his armies and so forth. This is the old world feudalistic model. Now that was one thing that Malthus said, is he said wages were a demand on capital or the wealth of the feudalistic landlord. The other thing that he said in his essay on population was is that population tends to outstrip subsistence, meaning that there's only so many resources, and the more population we have, the more competition that we're going to have for the available resources, and ending up in war and famine and so forth. And basically, that's where you get terms like useless eaters, and that's where you have genocide and so forth, because that's the Malthusian pretext. And Charles Darwin got his, Henry George talks about how Darwinism is basically an extension of Malthusian theory on an essay on population. That and so a lot of the thinking that Darwin put forth in his Survival of the Species or Evolution of the Species and so forth was predicated upon the teachings of Malthus, because now you're competing for available resources and so forth, and it was the survival of the fittest that the strongest survive in this competition for survival. And so, but Henry George refutes Malthus, and he says all labor creates its own wage, and that the free man owns his labor. And this was the basis of the original model that the American colonists put forth. They basically used to repeat was that they wanted the unleanable, that the government should not be able to place, no one should be able to place a lien against these rights,
liberty, and property. We'll be back in a moment. Telephone number, 1-800-877-254-7522.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Shalom, this is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me as we continue our series on exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. We'll be meeting at 3J's Christian Coffee House in Johnstown, Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. We'll look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? I've used my spiritual gifts for years. What does Torah have to do with them? How do I know the difference between truth or error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. The exciting series will continue over the next few weeks, so please join us. Contact the Voice of Many Waters Congregation at 1-800-205-6245 or 303-522-3562. A love offering will be collected. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. What is the Federal Reserve doing? Well, fortunately, when they passed the latest bit of legislation, why, Bernie Sanders, who is a dedicated socialist, but he's concerned about what's going on, insisted that the Federal Reserve have to admit what it had done with its money during the crisis. And what do we find? Well, the Federal Reserve was actually funding foreign banks. I mean, all these foreign banks were getting massive amounts of American money on loan to keep the whole world phony economic system afloat. Because, of course, they created this whole bubble, and then, of course, they're trying to keep this whole thing temporarily from falling apart. There's plenty of money out there, but, of course, it's all imaginary money built upon absolutely nothing. They just keep printing and printing, but they don't even have to print it. All they have to do is create it as a bank entry, and when you go down, you want to buy a house, they just lend you the money, using the house as the basis for the money that they create out of nothing, and then they have the audacity to charge you interest on the money they created out of nothing. That's the system works. It's wonderful for the banksters, but of course what it does, it creates artificial prosperity, and it's great for a time, and then the whole system collapses, and then we start in all over again, but by that time the people are impoverished. Our number, 877-254-7524, I guess, Kevin Abrams. Kevin, do you have a website? Or
No, I don't have any website at this time. I haven't maintained a website lately, so I'm not sure whether I'll have one or not. But anyways, I can be reached through email, and that's probably the best
and
way to contact me.
Email out there?
You can reach me through that's ELM 4782 ELM@yahoo.ca.
All right, fine. You go right ahead with your discussion. And again, if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question, 877-254-7524. Go right ahead.
Right. It's like I was saying, is that Henry George refutes Thomas Malthus and basically points out where nature bends her knee exponentially to the creative labors of man. And so our capacity to produce wealth is not limited by nature. What the Malthusian pretext was is that it is based on feudalism. And, of course, the American model was based on the idea of a free man owns his labor. And the motto was the unalienable rights to life, liberty, and property. Now, without the right to property, without the right to private property, and, of course, a man's labor is his most personal item of private property, without that right to property, the other two rights, life and liberty, are forfeit. So the linchpin right is the one to property, and especially the fruits of a man's labor. All free men own their labor, and they can make value-for-value exchanges and disperse their labor how they see fit. And that's really the grassroots, that's the basic, the most fundamental issue when it comes to the economy, is how much can you trade your labor for? What is the purchasing power of your labor in the marketplace? And we have two systems that we have the corporate system, and the corporation is actually a clone of the Malthusian system, or the Malthusian pretext. What happens when you go to work for a corporation? Well, they hire you, and basically your labor is considered to be a cost or of doing business. It's a liability to the corporation. It enters through the front of the corporation, and it's masticated into a liability or a cost of doing business and regurgitated out the corporate backside as a profit to the owners. And so that's very Malthusian. It's very feudalistic. So corporations by nature are feudalistic, patterned after the Malthusian pretext, that labor is a cost of doing business, that labor is a liability, and that labor is essentially owned. As a matter of fact, intellectual capital, the person doesn't even own his own mind. If he works for a larger corporation, his ideas and his thoughts are also owned by the corporation, even if he's off the job. That has been brought forth in court, that the corporation laid claim to the intellectual capital of an individual when he was off work. So basically the corporate system, what we're doing with corporatism, we have feudalism. It's corporate feudalism or corporate collectivism. And so when you have an overlay of corporatism on your culture, it's very difficult for the law of the land to function. It's like the land has been flooded. And the United States, all caps, when you use the all-cap letters, that is a designation for admiralty or commercial jurisdiction, corporate law. The law for the corporation, that is admiralty, commercial law, UCC, Universal Commercial Code. That's all corporate law. It has nothing to do with human beings. It has to do with legal fictions and persons underneath the corporate code. So a person is defined as a legal fiction. And a legal fiction can either be a corporation or a human being. And they meet on that common plane of legal fiction. And so basically you have a corporation that is running the United States today called the United States. It is not the United States that the American colonists founded. They didn't found that corporation as a unifying factor amongst the colonies. The United States today is like a ship on land. It's governed by corporate law, by commercial law. And so it's like a ship on land, and Obama was appointed the captain of this ship. And so he acts as a dictator and as a captain, and he's issuing and he's working through executive orders more than he is through a consensus. And that's because he represents the merchant kings of our day. He has been appointed, and the whole stagecraft of elections is just for public consumption. So you have the two sides, and you offer them up, and people get a chance to think that they're participating in some kind of a democratic process, which they're not, because the election is decided before it starts. And Obama is I refer to him as the parachute president because he was parachuted in. We don't know very much about his background. We don't know, what happened when he went to university. Obviously, many people didn't see him there. So we don't. It's amazing that the chief executive office of the land is filled by somebody that nobody knows really that much about. I find that very curious. And so basically, Obama functions as an appointed captain of Slave Ship America. It's a metaphoric ship or a corporate ship, and that's how corporations function. They function as ships and in admiralty. They're ships of commerce. And so you might view any corporation as a metaphoric ship or as a ship on land. And so when so water floods over the land, and common law and the laws of the land are the laws of the people. Those are for the people, for and by the people. That's why the Constitution is a common law document. It's in common law. It's based on the laws of the land. What you now have in America, what we have now in America, is an overlay of corporate or admiralty law that has submerged the land beneath its jurisdiction. And that's why Obama is a captain on Slave Ship America. So you have two jurisdictions. And right now we're under commercial jurisdiction and commerce. And what that jurisdiction does to human beings is it reduces them to items of inventory, no different from, say, a black slave as he was held in the hold of a Spanish galleon with a number. And a name that he was given, and so that whole process of
you hold that name. Hold that. Our telephone number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
Tri Property Management in Greeley reminds listeners, in every person there is a living heritage with experiences and memories to share. Show you care by visiting an elderly neighbor, friend, or family member. Share an afternoon and learn about life from one or more of the most experienced people in the world. This reminder from Tri Property Management in Greeley. Give them a call at 352-1025. They're reminding us, regardless of one's age, life should include laughter and joy and be lived with dignity and with self-respect. Now is the time to reserve your Passover tickets and join us for an awesome evening Monday, April the 18th at the Ramada Plaza, I-25 and 120th Avenue as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua Jesus. Tickets are $30 for adults, $20 for 10 to 12-year-olds, $15 for 6 to 9-year-olds, and 5 and under are free. Deadline is Friday, April the 8th, no exceptions. Call 1-800-205-6245 for reservations or mail your check to Beth Messiah Congregation, care of Sharon, P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534. See you at Passover.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245. An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Well, I am back here at the American Freedom Network. These ideas of a fiat money system have been tried many times down through the ages. It was used in ancient Greece, where government created money out of nothing. Aristotle observed the end result. First of all, what happened? Why people would vote for politicians who promised to give them the most. After all, when you have a democracy, people can vote into power, the people will rule them, and of course, if you want something for nothing, why you simply vote for a politician who promises to give it to you, like we have today. We have Social Security system. Isn't it wonderful? Why, of course, we get Social Security and welfare and free medical care when you get to be a certain age, and all these wonderful things. The only thing, the whole system is going to collapse. Aristotle said it best. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a fiat money system as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Nothing wrong with a fiat money system as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Of course, he recognized, as did Plato, and Plato wrote about it in his Republic, democracies always deteriorate into despotism. And that is something that's never taught in our schools today. Certainly 100 years ago, everybody would have abhorred the idea America was a democracy. Everybody knew America's Republic, and we were never to allow the people to vote themselves into dictatorship. But that is not taught in our schools today. We're taught about the two-party system, Republicans, conservative, Democrats, liberal. It's all make-believe. They're all controlled by the same people who finance the leadership of both political parties. The Democrats want to cut the federal budget for $38 billion. The Republicans want to cut it by $68 billion. Ladies and gentlemen, we get a deficit of $1.6 trillion. And if the Republicans are successful, we just go bankrupt a little more slowly. Until people understand, they've got to get involved, and we've got to get all of these people out of office and get back to a solid-backed currency where government stops providing for the people. Nobody wants to give up anything, but you have to realize, of course, you're going to lose everything you have. And the only question is, when this all ends, are you going to be free or are you going to be a slave? Are we going to let them take us into a great war with the Muslim world, which I believe is the plan, and that's everything going on in Libya and Syria, Egypt, Tunisia. This whole revolutionary ferment over there is all an effort on the part of our ruling elite to create a new Islamic world empire, creating the best enemy American and English money could buy as we prepare for another great and horrible war will be used to get us out of this terrible economic situation we're in. And then they can say, oh, shucks, it was the war that was responsible for the collapse of the system and the impoverishment and enslavement of our people. Well, we would never have done that. It was those terrible Muslims who were responsible. Well, Kevin, what are your parting thoughts? We've got about 3 minutes, 4 minutes here to finish up.
Well, I would say get a hold of a copy of Joseph Farrell's book and read it very, very closely. And there's a lot of lessons to be had from his work. The other thing is that the future of America, if she is to have a future, is in her currency. The people must reclaim the right to issue their own currency and issue a constitutionally based currency or a currency, a public currency, and that is responsible to the people through their elected representatives. Without that, you have no control over either your political economy or political or economic outcomes. So that's number one.
But how do you get responsible politicians?
Well, you know, the politicians, you know, when you the higher up you rise in political circles and authority and influence today, the more corrupt you have, the more corruptible you have to be. Basically, that's the way the system works. It's an automatic filtration process that goes on. So you can't really work at the top. You have to work at the ground. You have to work at the ground level, and you have to people have to be educated. And it's like you said, Dr. Stan, they don't teach economics in school anymore. And they don't teach history in school anymore. People don't know where they're coming from, and so they don't know where they're going. And they're subjected to, as Servando Gonzalez explains in his book, Psychological Warfare and the New World Order, The Secret War Against the American People, that the American people are subjected to, bombarded with massive amounts of propaganda and distortions of history and so forth. So people have to become radicals. They have to become more vigilant. They have to become. They have to become more. And to be radical means to go to the root. Dig yourself. Do your own due diligence. Do your research. Study. Don't spend so much time in entertaining yourself in convenience. Get out and do something. Because you know, there's only one word. You know, this is why the founding fathers rejected a democracy, a popular democracy, is because there's only one letter in the word democracy that turns it into democracy. The B can become a mob. So the mob of the majority can take away the rights of the minority in a democracy. And that is the big failing of a democracy. So the founding fathers knew that, and they didn't want that. They rejected a democracy, and they founded a republic, a constitutional republic. And that's very important, as you've pointed out. And the thing of it is that there's no more time for entertainment. There's no more. We've been consumed by a tyranny of convenience. It's taken away people's own initiative. For instance, Social Security. Well, how did they implement the income tax? Is with Social Security. They got everybody to. They baited everybody with a benefit, so they gave with one hand and took with 12. And that's basically the way a benefit works when you're dealing with a corporation. Is they give with one and take with 12. You're dealing with a fictional government. You're not dealing with an American government. The Americans haven't had a government for decades. The Americans do not have a government for the people of the people. They have no government today. They're basically, America has been in a state of bankruptcy for decades. And it basically, and what the national deficit is a rolling, it's symptomatic of a rolling bankruptcy. They just roll it forward. It's like you have a credit card and you can just up the limit. Every time you reach the limit, you can up it. It's the same concept. You're in a state of bankruptcy, but nobody's discharged. The country's not, hasn't been discharged. What we need is a discharge. The bankrupt needs to be discharged. There needs to be a new start. There needs to be a jubilee year.
Amen.
There needs to be a new start.
Kevin, thank you so much. Again, it's been Kevin Evans, and appreciate you so much being with us, Kevin. Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, all the best, Dr. Stan. And
thank you.
Bye-bye. Good morning to you again.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine. Point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Now is the time to reserve your Passover tickets and join us for an awesome evening Monday, April the 18th at the Ramada Plaza, I-25 and 120th Avenue as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Yeshua Jesus. Tickets are $30 for adults, $20 for 10 to 12-year-olds, $15 for 6 to 9-year-olds, and 5 and under are free. Deadline is Friday, April the 8th, no exceptions. Call 1-800-205-6245 for reservations or mail your check to Beth Messiah Congregation, care of Sharon, P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534. See you at Passover.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dan Mack here at the American Freedom Network, and it was a very interesting weekend. I was at something called the Health Freedom Convention in Long Beach, and we had a booth there. I gave a couple of talks. What intrigued me so much is how many people came up who listened to our programs and, of course, are telling others about it. I do believe that there is an increasing awareness of what's going on out there across this country. And so the other side is worried. People are beginning to wake up. How many of these people listen to Alex Jones, listen to Joyce Riley, listen to our programs and others, and are aware of the things we talk about? Now, I'm sure that many more of these people are going to the Health Freedom because they understand that, of course, they're poisoning our children, they're poisoning our water, they're poisoning our air. If you'd like to know how they're poisoning our air, you need to get the DVD entitled, What in the World Are They Spraying? What in the World Are They Spraying? And Ed Griffin did an excellent job with that. In fact, Ed spoke at the convention. If you want to know how they're covering up treatments for cancer, Cancer Forbidden Cures. Cancer Forbidden Cures. You need, of course, to get our material. You need to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or the DVD by that title. You need to get my talks on the forbidden secret, the dark secret, and the syllabuses with both of those. There is a world revolution taking place that's being financed by your government and by the Bank of England. If you doubt what I'm saying, if you get anything from this at all, and ask for either the speech given by Lord James, or we actually now have the minutes of Parliament, and it wasn't on the 4th of November, it was on the 1st of November, where it's about 10:30 in the evening, Lord James got up and talked about how he was funneling money from the Bank of England to the terrorists in North Africa. And today you see the success of their efforts as Libya, of course, is engaged in a great civil war, as Tunisia and Egypt have already fallen, as we see the strife now, the demonstration taking place in Syria and in Jordan. And isn't it wonderful? We're going to be able to topple all of those governments and create the new Islamic world order, so we can have a wonderful war. And don't you worry, it's going to be a terrible and bloody war, because, of course, we have provided the nuclear weapons for Pakistan. If you want to verify that, you need to read my January 2008 newsletter. January 2008 newsletter, the Civil Edmunds Story. Your job, ladies and gentlemen, is to talk about these things with a sense of assuredness. Give them the references to our website, the January 2008 newsletter. If you haven't got the information on Lord James and you get it on your search engine, just type in Lloyd James, and this they put it back up on Google after we put it. They're taking it down, so it's up there now. At least it was last time I saw it. Lloyd James, Belfast Telegraph, funding terrorists. Lloyd James, Belfast Telegraph. Get the information, copy it, get it to others. Do you realize, of course, that the Bank of England is funding the terrorists? Well, of course, the CIA has been funding the terrorists for a long time. Get the book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Pray for America. Please pay for Radio Liberty. For our provision protection until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org.